So last weekend, Cindy and I were out of pocket. We were up in Fort Worth celebrating her birthday with some of our Texas kids and their family. And on Sunday morning, we were at a brunch with, there were 14 of us there, seven of which who hadn't met our newest grandchild yet, so that was kind of fun for all that to be taking place. And then when we got to the table where we were eating, there was a card on the table that had the name of our server, Jesus. Come on, you can't make that up. That's amazing. And he was great. He was really, really great. So that was outstanding. Hey, it's been a great weekend here at Impact. Yesterday, Dave and Janet got married here. Dave's a missionary in Ecuador, and Janet is an Ecuadorian. I was talking to him yesterday, and the wedding was just a beautiful, beautiful time. And I'm just trying to figure out, how did that happen? Because when Dave left here, he didn't have any intention of being remarried or anything like that. But God, right? And as it turns out, as they were sharing their vows with one another, Janet talked about how she had been praying for many years for God to bring the right man. And I told her, I said, your prayers got Dave out of Texas into Ecuador, and your prayers for him the rest of his life will make that kind of difference. So keep praying for him. So anyway, bless you guys, and we're so glad to have you in. So this is our Game Changers 22 reveal weekend, something new that we're doing just to highlight and bring it to our attention. As Brent said, in just 13 weeks from now, we'll be taking a deep dive into the stories of Caleb and Deborah. Caleb and Deborah, two biblical examples of leaders who were willing to step up and move fearlessly against the flow of culture. And in light of all that these kids have been facing through all this COVID mess, this is going to be a timely, strategic, fun week of impartation. We're anticipating and planning up to 400 kids a day here. Perspective, that means every seat on the floor taken by kids. Just picture that in your mind. Every seat on the floor filled with kids and the workers that are serving with them. That'll be taking place June 6th to the 10th. We've had a team working since the fall. This weekend, we're taking the preparations to the next level because this weekend, starting now, it's time to go ahead and get your kids and their friends signed up for VBS. Don't wait till May. Don't wait till June. Go ahead and get signed up. The quicker we get signed up, the more we can get our pieces in place for all the things that need to be done. It's also time to seriously consider, what would it take for you to get in the game and be part of Game Changers? At the very least, I want us to just keep praying for what God wants to do on the campus here in June. But beyond that, I want to ask you to ask God about making a place in your schedule, maybe even taking time off from work so that you could serve as part of our VBS team this year. When I was thinking about this, I thought it's like taking a short-term mission trip, except you don't have to raise funds, you don't have to travel, you don't have to go through all of that, but you do have to take the time off. And what I just want to encourage you to put it at that level. Ask the Lord. And if he says yes, your spirit goes, yes, don't let your mind talk you out of it. Because many times the Lord, it's like with short-term mission trips. You say yes to the trip, and then there'll be this, that, and the other that will try to come up to dissuade. And, you know, even like Sozo's getting ready to go to Puerto Rico, and all the pieces were rolling in place for that. And then this vaccine mandate was up in Puerto Rico, which would have prevented them from coming. But we prayed together, and that vaccine mandate doesn't exist in Puerto Rico anymore, and so they're free to go. So I'm just saying, if you'll look at this, consider it. Ask the Lord about it. See if it's something he would have you prioritize in your schedule. Now, some of you go, yeah, but look, great idea. Love the kids and all that. But working with a bunch of kids, five mornings in a row, that is not my deal. That's not my cup of tea. I've had my day with that. I'm not, okay, that's okay. That's okay, because there are a lot of other ways to serve beyond hands-on work with the kids. There are things like craft items to be prepared in advance. And each year we do a major transformation of our campus. And so that means building sets and putting up decorations. And that'll start happening Memorial Day this year. And we'll start building into that, getting set up for that weekend. And some of you are like, well, yeah, but you still haven't got me yet. Okay, how many of you heard about Demo Day? Heard the phrase Demo Day? Well, after Show and Tell weekend on June 11th and 12th, Demo Day takes place on the campus. And all that we put up, and all that we did all during the week comes back down and gets put away. So maybe that's the place that would fit in and work for you. There's also intercessors praying around the campus the whole time the kids are here, which is a powerful thing. We've got a kitchen crew that makes some of the best snacks at any VBS I've ever been at, year in, year out. And again, that's just behind the scenes taking place. All these things have to happen to make a successful VBS. And of course, there's plenty of hands-on opportunities too. Working in the nursery, working out on the games field. We got zip lines out there and climbing walls. We're going to have AstroTurf and a volleyball court and all kinds of things. Helping with crafts, helping with snack time. We'll even have a medical team here. So there's lots of different ways to plug in. Three things that I think set apart our VBS from many others is the worship time the kids lead, the encounter stations, and what we call archers. You just got a taste of the worship that takes place every day in VBS. It starts with worship, and it ends with worship. It's an amazing time. We had a pretty good group up here, but double that. At least double that, the number of kids. There really is no place to stand between the stage and the first row. The kids are just up here engaged in worshiping. Cindy and I had our grandson Wiley living with us last year, and Ariel and Shane, and we would bring Wiley up here towards the end of the vacation Bible school every day. And we'd stand up there in the very back row of the balcony. And Wiley had really no context to put this. He's just a year and a half old. But man, when they'd start singing songs like that, Give Me Jesus and The Presence of the Lord, last year was I Am Available and different things like that. And the kids just worshiping, why they just would lean into us. I mean, he could feel it. It was impacting his spirit, just being in the room, the level of worship. And it's amazing. You see all these kids up here worshiping. But what else is really cool is the whole row of the balcony is parents watching their kids worship and being in the room. I was talking last night, Sherwood was telling me that when he was 29 years old, he went to a vacation Bible school and he got saved at the vacation Bible school. So he wasn't the kid there, he was an adult, showed up there, and that's where the Lord met him. So anything can happen. And those worship times, we just wanted you to taste and experience that. You know, I've grown up in the church, so blessed to have grown up in the church my whole life. And I've been to more vacation Bible schools than I could probably count. And I'm still singing songs today that I learned when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old in vacation Bible school. Things like Father Abraham and 7 sons. And I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Man, the words of the songs that we were singing this morning. Think about kids learning these songs this week and 50 years from now saying, give me Jesus, you can have all the world. 50 years from now saying, I choose you. 50 years from now saying, when I'm embraced, open arms, and the blessing and the pride of a father. I mean, the songs are powerful. I'm so thankful for the people that are writing songs for kids these days. And it's not, I mean, I'm thankful for the ones I learned, but this is a whole nother level of speaking into the kids' lives. And so the worship is a huge part of everything we do around here, and that's true about VBS as well. Now, the encounters, we transform the chapel and the fellowship hall into several encounter stations. And what we mean by that is they are activities designed to give each child the opportunity to experience God, to experience his presence, and to hear his voice themselves. Most of the Bible schools I've ever attended growing up, there's a lot of great teaching, and I'm thankful for every bit of that that was sowed into me. And we'll have great teaching that'll take place all the week when we're doing Bible school. But with the unique thing that we do in encounters, there's an opportunity for the kids to hear God speak to them themselves. Not somebody talking about Jesus, but for them to hear God speak to them, to call them by name. Some amazing things happen every week. Anytime you hear God speak to you, anytime you hear his voice, it changes you forever. But we see that happen day after day after day in kids' lives in the encounter stations. It's a powerful, powerful time. It's a serious game changer. That's where, once we name the first one game changers in the encounter stations, that's got to be the name every time, because that changes everything. One encounter with the living God changes everything forever. The other thing that we do is we put kids in small groups that are led by archers. An archer is a person who takes the kids through all the activities and adventures of each morning. This year we're hoping to find 80. Say 80. 80 archers is what we're going to need to handle the kids that we think are coming. That's a big group of people. And we're hoping to have all 80 of them in place before we get to Easter weekend this year. Archers are the most hands-on that it gets. It's a big job. It can be nonstop for 5 mornings in a row. But like so many endeavors that you say yes to with the intention, I'm going to be a blessing to those kids, or I'm going to be a blessing to someone, you end up getting more blessed by the things that take place. You get to be with the kids every day. You see who they are on Monday, and then you just see God start touching and changing and transforming. You see the difference between the Monday and the Friday of the things that happen. You're a firsthand witness. You get to pray for them. You get to love them. You get to know them by name. Somebody was telling me a story last night of a kid that was in their group 9 months ago. and recently saw him in the mall and came running up to him. And hadn't seen him in 9 months and came running up to him 9 months later. Hey, I know you. It's an opportunity to have a profound impact on kids being an archer. You'll see the transformation Monday to Friday. What is your part in VBS this year? Everybody's in for the prayer. What else would God have you to do? How will you get in the game? Stop by the Game Changers table on your way out and then get signed up at the Church Center app. You got your Bibles? Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. A somewhat surprising emphasis of Jesus' 3 years of earthly ministry involved children. In that day, and sometimes still today, children can occupy a precarious position in society. In the best situations, children are loved and protected and nurtured and well cared for. But in the news, almost every day, are stories about children being neglected and sadly, some children even being exploited. In Hebrew culture, children were considered to be gifts from God. And yet their children still tended to be treated more as to be seen and not heard. Jewish children were sent to synagogue school when they were 5 or 6. That could continue until they're 10. And then when they became 12 or 13, they were considered to be adults who were accountable for obeying the Torah. Children who were promising were recognized for their future potential. But still in Jesus' day, they were mostly treated as less thans. However, Jesus had a very different perspective about kids. And to this very day, Jesus' teaching about children has implications for how each of us are to live out our daily lives. At the same time, Jesus also highlighted the importance of each of us purposely choosing to find ways to sow into the next generation. Mark chapter 10, I'll begin reading verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus was often criticized for spending too much time with the wrong people. Children, tax collectors, sinners, the sick. Many people, including his own disciples, thought that maybe Jesus should be spending more time with important leaders and with his most devoted followers because that's the way you improve status and increase support. But Jesus wasn't focused on improving and increasing his status and support. And the thing about kids, they almost always need adults to bring them to places. So let me add this to your prayer list. Start praying right now for parents who will be willing to bring their kids here. Because of the kids that are coming here, except for the few that live in the neighborhood right there, they will not be able to get here on their own. They're going to need a parent who is willing to get them or some parent that's willing to pick some kids up. So let's pray into that as well. It's a dynamic about kids. They need adults to bring them places. And in this story that I just read you, we don't know that any of these kids had expressed any particular want to see Jesus. But what we do know is that their parents wanted their kids to be blessed by Jesus. Specifically, they wanted Jesus to lay hands on their children and bless them, which was a cultural tradition that went all the way back to the Old Testament patriarch Israel. Throughout Jesus' ministry, a variety of different people in a variety of different conditions came to Jesus to be touched by him, which is in sharp contrast to the behavior of the religious leaders of the day who lived with a constant alertness to doing things that would make them contaminated. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You got a guy that's in trouble by the road. Two religious people are the first people on the scene and both walk by him because they didn't want to get contaminated. Jesus moved in an opposite spirit. He had a totally different look at that. This Greek word for touched, it also comes from a root word that means to set on fire, to kindle, and to light. We're singing that last song, Wild, Wild Love, and you think, it's a little bit out there. I don't even know that's, but yeah, it's biblical. When Jesus touches you, it looses a fire in you. When Jesus touches you, it kindles a flame inside of you. It looses and awakens a light in you. That's what these people want. That's what these parents want for their kids. They didn't want just to walk by, blah, 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 blessing. They wanted an impartation of the life, of the things that they had heard and seen Jesus do. They wanted that put into their kids. That's what they were asking for. And that's what we still need today. And sometimes the way we get touched by Jesus is somebody else, some human, is the hands and feet of Jesus that speaks and blesses and reaches out and ministers to us. Sometimes it's just an encounter with God himself, an overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit. But when we are touched, we are never, ever the same. Outside the house, on this particular day in Mark 10, it's easy to just envision and picture a growing line of cheerful, excited dads and moms with their littles in their arms or running around nearby. But then suddenly the whole atmosphere changed when Jesus' disciples came out and started trying to shoo him away with rebuking and scolding tones. Why were they doing that? A post I found this week by R. Kent Hughes says, in their minds, they were just protecting Jesus. They knew Jesus was under pressure. Wherever he went, he found conflict. One time with demons, another time with the religious establishment, etc. And if it was not, if that wasn't enough, there were all the crushing crowds. This matter of blessing children was simply one more drain on Jesus. And besides, they were just children. They were of little importance. They couldn't debate or contribute to the cause, even if they understood about Jesus. So the disciples had decided to give Jesus a little break by stopping the flow. Bottom line, the disciples did not yet see children the way Jesus did. And Jesus was none too happy about it. Look at verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." In the Greek, the word used here for indignant can mean much grieved. In the pure word, it says Jesus was very displeased. In the Amplified, it says he was pained. The Message says Jesus was irate. And he let them know about it. Rereading this familiar story several times this week, I wondered about the harshness of Jesus' response, that Jesus was indignant with them, kind of jumped off the page, because it seems kind of as out of character with the way we typically picture Jesus as the disciples shooing away the kids. Both of those seem like, that's a miss, that's weird. But here's the rest of the story. Back in Mark 9, just the chapter before, immediately after all that took place during and after the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus and his disciples had traveled through Galilee to Capernaum, and along the way, an argument had broken out among the disciples, and here's what happened next. Verse 33, chapter 9. They came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the road?" Doesn't say this in the Bible, but crickets is what happened next. Silence. But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. And sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." And then he took a child and he had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. And if anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it'd be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." Do like this. That is what happened that day for the disciples when Jesus was speaking to them. Right over their head. Boom. Right by them. Jesus had given them a very clear illustration. He had taken a kid out of the crowd. He had wrapped him up in a bear hug before he spoke some very important words to him. He had everybody's attention in the room. What's he going to say next? What's he going to say next? However, the disciples didn't get it. Now, maybe they were still embarrassed about being called about who's the greatest argument. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe they were still stuck in their own history about the way they were treated as children themselves. But whatever the reason, they missed the point and they missed the moment. And on top of that, Jesus said something that day that still echoes in the spirit realm to this day. "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Wow. Another time, Jesus would say that in the end, the thing that separates the sheep from the goats will be what people did or did not do for the least of these. Jesus would say, "What you have done to the least of these, you have done to me." And I think Jesus used the same phraseology here. And so he adds children to the least of these category. And he also emphasized the importance of receiving and welcoming children in the same ways that we would receive and welcome Jesus himself. Now that's an eye-opening thought. So many times we just walk past kids. You know, they're just a little lower. You don't see them all the time. So many times you just walk right past. I remember, we were so blessed. We had 5 kids, and the joy of Cindy and I's life was raising those 5 kids. And now watching them grow up and watching them love their kids and seeing the grandkids come and all of that. But man, as intense as that time was, and it was like nonstop. I mean, we still talk about how did we do all of that, you know? But it was life. It's what we did. It's what we did, and we loved it. Man, it was gone like that. Gone like that. Our oldest turned 36 this week. So our kids are 36 to 26, or in that range right now. It just seems, it's like, just like that, it's gone. And sometimes when I'm out different places, you know, stopping by a store or something, I'll see an adult parent, dad with a kid a lot of times running around. And the kids, might be just, you can see they're kind of, they're pushing him a little bit. And I'll look at the dad and I say, look, enjoy them because they're gone like that. I mean, you just got that much time with them. Keep loving them. Keep spending time with them. They need you in their life. Because I just know. There were times like that where it's like, whew, as much as we love, there's times where it stretches you and pulls you. But it is such a precious, powerful thing to welcome a child the way you'd welcome Jesus into your life. You know, to get down eye level with them and look them in the eye when you're talking to them, to just give them a hug and love on them. All those things communicate powerful, powerful things to kids. And it starts with our perspective about what we're doing with the kids. In Matthew's version of the story from Mark 9, Jesus also said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom. Two quick points here. Entering the kingdom of heaven is significantly different. It's a significantly different issue than the salvation experience entering the kingdom of God. And we'll talk more about entering the kingdom of God in a minute. We can be saved, born again, children of God, and still be missing out on the fullness of what God wants us to be, to do, and to experience in this life. And the fullness of that experience is concentrated more in being than in doing, although both are part of it. Second, the Greeks had many words that they used for children, from newborns, nepios, all the way to fully mature, huios. Here, when Jesus said, like children, he used the word paideon, which actually is the word for adolescence. So this child that Jesus pulled out of the crowd wasn't some little kid. This child was an adolescent. Some adolescents love being in the spotlight and others would kind of prefer not to be there. You know, it's an interesting, awkward time of life. And Jesus pointed out and grabbed this one boy, pulled him out of the crowd, got him in front of everybody. I'm sure the whole room got still and quiet. What's he going to do next? And then Jesus wrapped up that kid in a bear hug. And to his credit, the kid didn't resist. The kid just received what was going on. Even if it felt a little bit awkward or uncomfortable to him, he just stayed in the moment. Graham Cook, in his book, Prophecy and Responsibility, describes the paideon stage of development as a time when we know how to do certain things. It's a time that we've had experiences with God and we've walked with him for some length of time. We can often carry even a powerful anointing on our lives, but we still don't yet have the character to sustain our relationship with Jesus. We have some profound times, but we're still learning the true nature of the Holy Spirit. And it's not the Holy Spirit's job to make things easy for us. His role is actually to walk with us through every step of our journey. He'll be what we need him to be. Sometimes he's our instructor, while at other times he's our comforter. A major transition occurs in the paideon stage when we discover what God meant when he promised to never leave us or forsake us, which opens our hearts up to the Holy Spirit in new ways and allows the Holy Spirit to teach us more about how to endure the things that are happening around us. During the paideon stage, it's when we start learning the important lessons of perseverance. And it says in James, perseverance must finish its work so that we can be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Back to Mark chapter 10. And here we see the next pop test about how the disciples saw children. Not too long after this encounter where Jesus has this boy standing in the crowd, here's the next pop test. And once again, the disciples were out of sync and out of step with Jesus' heart. And this time, Jesus emphatically told them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. That word let is always a word about choices. Listen to this. We can be people who connect kids to God, or we can be people who stand in their way. We can be people who connect kids to Jesus, or we can be people who are standing in the way. That to me is a Selah moment. That's worth thinking about. That's worth pondering. We have an amazing opportunity based out of a soft-hearted, Christ-like awareness that may require some mental attitude adjustments so that we can be connectors. Because it is still on God's heart for children to be able to come to him unhindered. Do not hinder them, is what Jesus said. The fact that he said, do not hinder them, reveals a harsh reality that we can. He wouldn't say, do not hinder them, if it wasn't possible for us to be people who hinder the kids from coming to him. The Amplified says, do not forbid or prevent them. In the Greek, this word hinder means do not stop them by word or action. Do not keep them from or obstruct or prohibit them. And interestingly, the roots of this word for hinder specifically describe times of chastisement and punishment. You know, every child needs discipline. Every child needs to be trained up. Some children are easier than others. You know, there's some kids that when you correct them or speak a word to correct them, I mean, they just break instantly. They're just like, oh, so sorry. And other kids, you correct them, and they look at you, is that all you got? What else you got? I mean, it can be anywhere in that spectrum of things that happen. All kids need discipline and correction and training. But regardless of which end of the spectrum the kids are on that we're dealing with them, our responses make a difference. Our interactions with children as they grow and develop, as they are trained up, can make or break a child's perspective of God. So powerful, these times. We really need God to help us. There's times in every parent's history and story where it's like, oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have done it that way. What I want to just encourage you, just immediately go apologize to your kids. Just get there, clear it up right there. Don't just let it sit. Don't sweep it under the rug. Just get that right with the kids. It doesn't show weakness. I was right in correcting you, but I was wrong in the way that I did it. It's important that we show and demonstrate that to our kids. These moments of correction and training just can really, really, really make a difference. So many people that we've dealt with in inner healing, my own self, my own journey through inner healing, I had God in the box the same way I related to my mom and dad. And most people start that way. Most people relate to God in the same ways or from a starting place of how you related to your parents. You had a great loving father, great loving parents. It's much easier to run to Jesus than if you felt ignored or abused or neglected by your parents. All of us, the relationship we have with our parents makes a difference. But what's so amazing about God is even in broken situations to the good situation, God sends other adults into kids' lives. It's so important. He so wants kids to have life-giving interaction with other adults. It could be teachers, Sunday school workers, different people serving, that they're coaches and different things like that, that God sends into kids' lives because he wants that relationship to be restored and made whole in kids' lives. The Message Bible says it this way, don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Here at Impact, as Brent said, we have an open prophetic word about being part of a five-generational move of God. From oldest to youngest and from youngest to oldest, God is at work in our midst. And he wants us to stay involved and committed to each other's growth and development. And part of that requires purposeful appreciation and support for each other. Finding ways to bless and to be a blessing to each other from oldest to youngest and from youngest to oldest. And here at Impact, we're also so blessed week in, week out by the level and quality of ministry that we are able to provide for children. Victoria is doing an outstanding job in the nursery and preschool ministry. Garrett and Sarah are doing excellent work with a growing group of middle schoolers and high school students. Garrett and Sarah just live a couple blocks up in a year ago, the groups were meeting at their house. The middle school group has outgrown their house. There's 40 to 50 kids here every Wednesday night filling up the fellowship hall. It's a beautiful thing that God is doing and that God is growing. And then Brent and Sarah are helping to train up kids in the way that they should go. Through the great things that take place in kids' church every day. You got a little taste of it this morning. But every Sunday, the things that take place over there. And we also have something for fourth and fifth graders we call Kids Leadership Academy that meets on Wednesdays all during the school year. And we are training our kids up from youngest to oldest to move with the Lord and to do things with God. Victoria was talking about a little baby that was in the nursery a month or so back, and it was about third time the baby had been there, and every time the baby was crying and upset and wouldn't be soothed. First couple of times the mom had been paged and had to get the baby. The third time, whatever reason, the mom didn't respond to the pager or whatever, who knows. But then the Lord put on Victoria's heart to just grab some of the kids in the nursery and lay hands on that little baby who was upset And do you know that little baby just calmed down and did good after that? I mean, that's our littlest ones. That's our littlest ones learning how to do that. And over in kids' church and in youth, it's just a common thing to hear the stories of kids praying for one another and healings and breakthroughs taking place in their lives. We're from our youngest to the oldest, we're calling all of us to be in the game, to be part of this thing, not to just think, well, one day when I get old enough, I'll do stuff. No, if you're breathing, if you're available now, you can. We're speaking that, we're showing that, we're demonstrating that, and we're giving our kids, youngest to oldest, an opportunity to be part of that, and God is blessing it. And of course, then we do the Game Changers VBS each year. We've done the different themes. We missed one year because of COVID. The whole world shut down for COVID. So this year we're doubling up, and we're getting Caleb and Deborah together in the same thing this year, just working our way through that word that Graham spoke to us. There's also an amazing week, kids camp in the summer. So many opportunities for kids to be touched by the Lord, to be changed, to be challenged, to be pressed into. And all of these ministries are fueled and supported. Wouldn't be possible except that we have an army of volunteers who serve and support and sow into these life-giving opportunities for children and youth. We really are blessed. It's a beautiful, beautiful, amazing thing happening in our midst. When Jesus said, "For the kingdom of God belonged to such as these," he openly affirmed and respected the personhood and spirituality of children, and we need to do the same thing. Jesus also revealed a wide open spiritual capacity for children. Jesus said, "Truly, to those of this sort of character and individuality is the kingdom of God entrusted." The pure word says, "Because of such is the kingdom rule of God." And in God's eyes, here's good news. All of us are just children in grown-up bodies. All of us are just children in grown-up bodies. 1 John 3:1, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. Verse 15, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Jesus specifically said, every person must adopt the heart and the mindset of a child in order to receive the kingdom of God. Now, children don't have a lifetime of self-improvement and self-sufficiency efforts to overcome. They don't have a moral defense shield that they stand and hide behind. They don't even tend to see themselves as autonomous. At the same time, as I dug into this, I was encouraged to find that receiving the kingdom of God like a child does not infer or require that we do it with innocence, because all of us know that ship has already sailed. Nor does it infer or require us to do so with the subjective attributes that we often ascribe to children, like instinctive trustfulness, receptivity, simplicity, or sense of wonder. Instead, what Jesus had in mind is for us to have the objective awareness of our complete, utter dependence on him. No one gets into the kingdom of God unless he or she receives God's salvation from that place like a child. No one. We all enter God's kingdom the same way we enter the physical world. Absolutely, completely, totally helpless. We all enter the world as someone who needs everything to be done for us. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he was speaking about salvation and being born again. Salvation is a free gift. We can't earn it, deserve it, or work our way into it. Instead, salvation is all about receiving it. In a moment of salvation, and then every day after that, as we work out our salvation with reverence toward God. In John 1, the full scope of this salvation relationship is described like this. "To all who received him." And that Greek word for received means to actively get and take hold of as a lifestyle rather than a one and done moment or decision. Right now, every one of us in the room is either saved or we're not. There's no in between. If I ask you, are you saved? And you go, I don't know. You're not. You're not. If I speak to you about salvation, you're like, well, I prayed this prayer a long time ago, but you know. Well, that's between you and God. You may or may not be saved. But what I will say is when you really meet him, your life starts changing. If you just check the box, oh, I did the thing I needed to do. I prayed the prayer I needed to pray. Now I'm living like I was living before. I don't know if you've met the Jesus that I've met. I don't know if you've met the Holy Spirit that I know, because when we invite him into our life, when we surrender the control of our life to him, things begin to change, and he starts changing us from the inside out. It may take a little bit for it all to get sorted out like we wanted to, but there are changes. You can mark, here's the day I met Jesus, and I'm different now. I'm not the same as I was. If you're exactly the same, I would say invite him in again. Invite him in again, because it should create a transformation. To all who received him, to all who actively get and take hold of him as a lifestyle, and to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon his name. I love the present tense nature of all those. It's not something I did in the past. I'm believing now. I'm adhering now. I'm trust now. I'm relying on his name now. To those who received and believed him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, and right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The idea of becoming children of God, I think, is fascinating. In the natural, we grow out of childhood into adulthood, but there's something in the spirit realm about maintaining the dynamics of childlikeness in our faith that is important to our character. And as we maintain the dynamics of childlikeness in our walk with the Lord, it keeps us learning about and moving in humility, not only as we come to Christ, but also as we grow and mature in our relationship with him. Many years ago, I've told the story before, but there's a man named Jack Buckner who was a precious man of God. He was he came from a little different stream than I did growing up, but we found each other together at the church I was at in Fort Worth, and man, he loved Jesus, and I'm so blessed he loved me. And he prayed for me, and he and I'd have conversations challenging and pushing each other in different things. But one of the things that Brother Buckner would do is sometimes in a worship service, God would give him a word. And if God gave him a word, it always started this way. I believe the Lord would have me say. That's the way it always started. And sometimes it'd be long, but one of the most profound words he ever spoken, I believe the Lord would have me say, some of you are too grown up for your own good. And then he sat down. That was it. That word stays with me. That word stayed with me since that day. It's so easy to get too grown up for our own good. I love the way verse 15 is translated in the Passion. Listen to the truth I speak. Whoever does not open their arms and receive God's kingdom like a teachable child will never, no, never enter it. We have different places we've been with the Lord, different lengths of time we've been to the Lord, different experiences we've had. But listen, you have not topped out everything that God has for you. You have not finished everything that God has for you. Because if you had, you wouldn't still be here today. The fact that we're still here living and breathing is communication, truth from God. There is more. There's more he wants to see, do, be, experience. And so I just want to encourage us. Let's keep open arm teachableness about us as we move forward. Verse 16. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. In the Amplified, it says, he took the children up one by one in his arms and fervently invoked a blessing, placing his hands upon them. The Passion Translation says, he embraced each child and laying hands on them, he lovingly blessed each one. I love how both of these translations expand and increase the picture of the moment. You know, again, just you got a crowd of parents. They're coming around. They're standing outside the house. They're trying to get their kids to Jesus. And the time comes for blessing. And it wasn't just a pop, 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 just moving fast down the line, Jesus, somewhere else to go. It was individual, personalized time with each one of those kids. I love it that Jesus took the time, invested the time in each one of those children. He was the savior of the world. He was a man on a mission. And in fact, when this took place, he was very near. Nobody else knew that they were about to make their last trip into Jerusalem. He knew that Palm Sunday and all that would happen after that leading to his death and burial and resurrection, he knew that was right around the corner. I mean, the profoundness of that. He's the only one that knew that. And yet he still took the time, one-on-one, one by one, with each one of these kids to bless them. What a savior. Isn't he wonderful? Look, and he still takes time like that with us too. He still takes time like that. Jesus flipped the script on society's previously held perceptions about children, where many tended to see children as small, insignificant, weak, maybe even annoying. Jesus revealed God's perspective. And Jesus made it abundantly clear that children have a role to play in the kingdom of God and in releasing the kingdom of heaven on earth today. God doesn't see children as either a nuisance or a bother. God sees children as his treasure. Children matter to God. Children's prayers are heard. Children's hearts touch God's heart. And at times, children's praises are even more powerful than that of an adult. You know the verse Psalm 8:2? From the lips of children and infants, God has ordained praise because of your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. I mean, it was kind of fun seeing all the kids worshiping, but listen to me. It's not just cute kids dancing and moving up here. These are kids worshiping the Lord. And from the lips of children and infants, God has ordained praise to silence the foe and the avenger. One of the reasons we start our Sunday services with the kids worshiping with us is because I know, believing this verse, even just one song of the kids engaged with worship helps clear the atmosphere in here for us adults. How many know it's easier to hear the Lord when the foe and the avenger have gotten silenced? You're not having to deal with all of those thoughts. And having a group of kids in here worshiping with us as we begin is one way to help even more clear out the atmosphere in the spirit realm. God loves children, and it's evident throughout the scriptures. Psalm 139 says children are cherished in God's eyes even before they are born. Each child is fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are numerous examples of God equipping, empowering, and entrusting young people in extraordinary ways. Remember the stories of Joseph and Samuel and David and Josiah and Daniel and Mary and Timothy, just to name a few. Children are a God-given example to us. They have a vital part to play in God's plan until Jesus returns. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And Jesus wants each of us to share his love for children in real and practical ways because children are valuable and they're to be valued. You got something? Come on. The old song says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. And Jesus wants the children in our lives to be treated, valued, and esteemed as precious in our sight too.
The Lord put this on my heart this morning. I was praying through things that are going on in the Ukraine. And two different things I saw. I was watching something about the supernatural ways that the Lord's answering our prayers for the Ukraine. And it was a Ukrainian pastor, and he was sharing that just different things the Lord's doing. And he said it, and then another man said it too that I saw. And they said that the Lord showed him Satan may be winning some battles, but the Lord wins the war. The Lord wins the war. And when I saw that word, it sparked something in my heart because, and I texted our youngest daughter, Faith, because, and I looked at the date this morning when she was four. I saw the date because I remember her being so little. When she was four, she woke up and she was crying and she said, God gave me a dream last night, and she was crying and crying, and she said, there's such a battle. There's a battle going on, and she said, the angels were fighting with the daddies to protect the kids, and she said, it looks like we lose the battle sometimes, and she was describing in complete detail how the daddies and the mommies fight together with the angels. You know, we do that in prayer. We do that in prayer. And she was describing in complete detail what she saw in her dreams. And she was crying so hard. And she said, it looks like we lose the battle. But she said, we win the war. We win the war because of Jesus. Now, this is a little four-year-old. And she was a tiny four-year-old, too. But she really heard the Lord. She still walks with the Lord. I texted her. I said, I saw this word twice this morning. And it made me think of you and that dream the Lord gave you. And she said, that's so funny because the Lord reminded me of that on Tuesday night. And I was like, what was Tuesday night again? And she said, she was praying with a girl and it became deliverance. And this girl got delivered. And she said, I thought about that, the battle. You know, it looks like sometimes we lose a battle, but she said, this one was a winning battle. but the battle belongs to the Lord. And I just felt like, because it came up several times this morning, as I was praying and just hearing from the Lord, I just felt like that's a word, as David was sharing today, like, you know, we have things in our life, or even as we've raised our kids or something, everything doesn't go wonderful. You know, there's hard stuff and there's good stuff. And as parents or as kids or as grandparents, I just felt like the Lord wanted to remind everybody that even when it feels like we've lost a battle, Jesus wins. We win because of Jesus. Jesus wins. And And Jesus has already conquered, and Jesus has already won. So we stay in prayer, and we stay in that battle, and we keep contending because Jesus won the war. And Jesus has if he's given you a word for your kids, keep contending. I don't care how old they are. Keep contending because Jesus wins, because he's already won the victory. Anyway.
Amen. That's good. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you love children. It was your idea before it was ever ours. And it's still your idea today. And so we ask, even this morning, Lord, as we finish this time, I just pray that you would enlarge within us a love for children. Be it our own or neighbors or just kids we pass, that you would enlarge that place in our hearts, that you would grace us to be people who connect kids to Jesus, not who stand in their way in any way. Lord, forgive us for any of the crazy things we've done or just foolish or thoughtless things that we've done that would have put us between a kid and you. We want to be those that connect, that are used by your Spirit, that your love can flow through to help draw kids to you and to your love. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our camps. We thank you for the kids that were here this morning and just the blessing that they are to us. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to grow them up, that you'd use us to help grow and mature and push them along, and that in each of our lives, we would hold on to that childlikeness that allows us to keep learning and keep growing and teaching, not getting just settled or stuck where we are, but continuing to want to know more and more and more about you. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, thank you so much for being here this morning. If you need some more prayer before we leave, if you come forward, we'll pray for you. There are a lot of things that will be going on this morning. I want to remind you that Sozo's enchilada plates, instead of going out through the coffee shop, if you signed up to get an enchilada plate or you want to get one, we're going to go out this door where the kids went out for kids' church, because we got all the parents going out to get the kids that way. So just to help with traffic flow, they've got 200 plates of enchiladas ready. So there are room for more that if you want to stay and eat here on the campus. You can also pick them up and go. If you haven't had BJ and Mella and the Sozo Homes food and cooking, you are missing a blessing. You're going somewhere for lunch anyway. You might as well, if you just want to take it to go and have it tomorrow or tonight, pick some up. Let's bless them. Let's sow into what they're doing on the mission trip before we leave today. Let me seek the blessing over what we've done this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Be blessed with supernatural strength to turn your eyes from worthless and evil things, and instead, may you behold the wonderful things that God has planned for you. I bless your ears to hear and your eyes to see and your spirit to understand the wonders of our God. May your feet and hands be ever outstretched to help those in need. God's grace be upon your home. May God give you success and prosperity in your places of labor. May God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and visions. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you grace and peace. May his mercy and his goodness follow you all the days of your life. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hey, again.